Joining me in this episode of the Neil Wilkins podcast is Ashley Morton. Now, Ash is somebody who has had quite a journey, and we are going to go hopefully very deep into this journey and what this has meant in terms of being quite a profound, quite a life-changing, some might say an epiphany of a different life on the other side of some challenges that will probably make you think, wow, I've got it easy. So welcome to the show, Ash.
Hi, Neil. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So anybody who doesn't know Ash Morton, let's kind of take a few backward steps, because I'm really interested to know kind of for you where this kind of journey began. And I guess a lot of the experiences that you've had sort of through your life kind of can almost be sort of traced back to the origins and the roots of maybe childhood or something kind of early and some of the earliest stages in your life. To tell us a little bit about the backstory, Ash's kind of early days.
Yeah, of course. Well, I guess it starts where I grew up in Western Supermare. Living on a council estate called Milton Brow, where around the age of 15, my older brother died of epilepsy. And I found him in the bath one afternoon. And he was just, you know, lifeless, blue. And me and my sister had to try and do CPR to him. So that first set me down a path of taking a lot of drugs and trying to almost kind of escape myself, I would say. I would only, you know, begin to realize that now, of course. I mean, at the time, I just thought it was all about having fun. But that first traumatic experience for myself, my three sisters, my mum and my dad was life-changing, as you can imagine, for any young guy, and especially the circumstances in which, you know, I found him in the bath and, you know, tried to revive him with my sister. It sort of really set in motion about the person that I would become, not only to do with drugs, but to do with the person that I would, in a sense, shield myself from becoming. I felt that for a long time that I had to hide my emotions, you know, hide my feelings. I guess, you know, there is that stigma around guys and showing feelings. So I felt I had to do that around that time. I, you know, something that sticks out for me in my brother's funeral, that I didn't want anyone to see me cry. And, you know, I had to bury those feelings down. And I guess, you know, anyone who's had a traumatic experience like that will be familiar with that feeling and just trying to push it down, trying to push it away and not kind of face it and not accept it. So that's the starting point for me. In where I was emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So that set me on the path of a lifelong exploration of drugs, women, and a party lifestyle that changed who I was. It sort of, I would say, it sort of masks who I really was, and just set in motion someone that I thought I was, but in actual fact, it, you know, it's not who I was. It was just me pretending to be someone, or, you know, my self-image was masked by my ego, I would say.
There's that moment where, which obviously absolutely harrowing, you know, nobody would wish that on anybody, you know, to have that kind of a level of experience. And as you say, particularly as a young person, it's just, you know, it's just incredible, really, that you were able to even kind of create those shields around yourself. What kind of a person do you feel you would have been had you not gone through that experience in those years kind of growing up? Just so that we can get a, I guess, a sense of the contrast between just how much of a change that made to you.
Of course. Well, I can only look back at it now from the person that I am today and how liberated I feel. And we'll touch base about that in a minute. But for people like me, I'm an empath. So I feel heightened emotions. I feel people's energy and emotions quite drastically. So this traumatic experience forced me to not accept that about myself, to really put a block and a barrier within that feeling, within those emotions. So not only to protect myself from those overwhelming emotions, but also to prevent myself from picking up on other people's emotions and energies. I wasn't aware of it back then. You know, I wasn't aware that I was so easily controlled by other people's energy and emotions. It's something I only learned last year about myself, after really diving deep, deep within myself for the last 3 years, that I come to face to face with, you know, that young boy again, that 15-year-old boy. You know, he had to surface, and he had to come out, and, you know, he had a voice and still has a voice within me now.
It's interesting the way that you describe yourself at that point. You use the word him there, and that to me came through loud and clear. Do you see him, if we just call him him, yeah, the 15-year-old Ash, do you see him as a different person now?
100%, absolutely. I feel like a completely different person. It's my belief now that as we change, as we evolve, we actually change. We actually change the person we are. We actually change our whole reality, in a sense, you know. If we can go within and work on ourselves, for our traumas, and learn and evolve, then you have lots of different versions of yourself within yourself. You know the younger kid, the toddler that grew up always being told no, don't do this, don't do that, you know, being forced, you know, to kind of be coached into a certain way of living, when at that time you should be free. So it's quite a restrictive experience growing up in modern society for a toddler, for a teenager, for an adult. So it's my belief that we have all these different versions of ourselves within ourselves. You know, it's all part of who we are. And every experience we have shapes those versions of ourselves.
Obviously, I want to come on to some of the really positive things that have happened to you in more recent times. But just how bad did it get?
It got really bad. For instance, all in my teens, my 20s, my 30s, I would take drugs pretty much 3-4 times a week. I would party non-stop. I would constantly date different women. I could never hold down friends, relationships. I could never form positive bonds with anyone. I was very much alone and very much isolated in my thoughts and, you know, in my life. And that is it's not healthy. It wasn't me. It was all false. It was me trying to fill that void you know, of not facing my true self, but not being happy with my true self, and, you know, and using drugs and sex, and all these external things to try and fill that void. It got pretty bad, and it got at its worst when I met my daughter. Now, she's my pinnacle, life-changing moment when I met her mother around 10 years ago. And we had a bit of a whirlwind relationship. Gabriella was born within 2 years of meeting her, and it just went south really quick because of the person that I was, because, you know, because of the drugs, because of the non-acceptance of who I was, always chasing something. I was never happy in what I was doing in my life, in my job, in my situation. Every time I would get into something, I would just want to get out of it. I was just looking for the next thing. You know, it's like, it's pretty much like the saying, the grass isn't always green on the other side. It was almost like I was always chasing that greener grass. You know, I was always looking for something to make me happier. You know, I was never truly happy. And after we separated, we had to go through the family court system, which was the worst thing I've ever been through, you know, for a drug addict, a sex addict. You know, I had to really come to terms with who I was, you know, and how I acted as a father and, you know, and as a man. And it was destroying, but it's what needed to happen. I needed to break that conditioning of my mind to really see the true me, to really break free of myself, to sort of step into this new person, or, you know, the person that I could have potentially been a long time ago. So it was very hard. It was the worst experience of my life. And it ultimately changed and set me on this path about a year ago, where my daughter herself phoned me up, and, you know, she expressed some feelings towards me and said that she wasn't quite happy with coming here. And, you know, that we've been back and forward through the court system for over 5 years with me and my ex. She'd broken five court, you know, every year for 5 years, whether, you know, she wasn't happy that I took her on a holiday and met a female there. She wasn't happy with that. She wasn't happy with the food that I was giving her. She wasn't happy with this. It was all a control thing for her, I believe. And, you know, all this time and living in fear, because my daughter is my world, you know, she's the one true, you know, the one true love that I've ever known. And, you know, it was the biggest blessing of my life. So to have that ripped away from me every year for 5 years, it set me down a path again, you know, on and off drugs, you know, still chasing that void. But ultimately, when I had that phone call from Gabriella herself this time instead of my ex, you know, I've to this day, it didn't make sense, because she said to me, Daddy, I love you, but I don't feel comfortable coming there. I'd just rather be at home with mummy and her stepdaddy, and I'll come and see you when I'm 18. So for me, that was very hard to take. You know, what 8-year-old says that to her father? You know, I love you, but I don't want to see you. I'll see you when you're 18. So that changed me so deeply. It hit, you know, I hit rock bottom, absolutely hit rock bottom with that. I was beside myself. I couldn't stop crying. I quit my job. I couldn't eat. And that ultimately what set me on this path of enlightenment and self-discovery. It was a horrible time for me. I planned on killing myself. I had letters wrote out to all my families. I'd ordered some heroin off a guy I met in a park. I'd ordered some needles. I had I had hundreds of posters printed out on my floor in my bedroom. So I had it all planned out. I was going to inject myself with heroin, surrounded by all these pictures of my daughter. I just couldn't take anymore. You know, I've been fighting for her for 5 years, fighting, you know, trying to have the relationship that I wanted with her. And I just wasn't getting it. And it was horrible. It destroyed me. And I just couldn't see a way through it. I couldn't see a way out of it. So for me, the pain got unbearable and I just wanted to end it all. And I couldn't see a way through that. And just miraculously, a miracle happened one night. It come down to a couple of days that I was going to do it. I think it was on a Friday evening, and I was outside of my flat, and I was looking at the stars, you know, in floods of tears, you know, just thinking, you know, how do I write a letter to Gabriella to explain why I had to kill myself? And, you know, was she going to get this letter in the future? Do I give it to my mum? Do I give it to a solicitor? All these scenarios running through my brain. And suddenly, like a switch, like an absolute switch, like a beam of light coming down on me, I just had a clear vision, a knowingness that this is a game. Life is a game. And this is my test. I am being tested to see if I can evolve. And all those 5 years of court cases, you know, and heartache, that it was me doing that to myself. I was bringing that fear into my life by constantly living in fear. And through that, I had the option, you know, to see life through a slightly different perspective. Although at the time it was quite hard, you know, to grasp, you know, this sudden new knowingness that, you know, something I've never had before. So when we went to court the last time, you know, I just broke down to the judge. I said, look, this is the fifth time we've been in court. I can't do this anymore. I'm at breaking point. You know, I had to surrender, you know, had to surrender to the universe, to just give up what felt like, you know, I was giving up my daughter, which was horrible, you know, but I knew deep down within me that I had to do it. Something had to change. My ex wasn't going to change. She wanted her things all of her way. And there was no common ground there. There was nothing. So I knew I had to surrender. So I did. I said, I don't want to proceed with the courts. If Gabriella wants to see me when she's 18, then my door's open. And I had to just walk away. I knew it was either that or I'd have to kill myself. Those were my two options. I couldn't see any other way. So that night, when we got back, when I got back from the courts, it was just the most terrifying, but also the most relief that I felt in a long time. You know, I just had this feeling that by surrendering to my ex, to the experience, to the outcome, that everything would be okay. And that night, I had just an overwhelming feeling to take drugs again. It was almost like I was on autopilot. Like I couldn't, like thinking about it now, I couldn't think. I was just acting. So I went and picked up some drugs, some cocaine and some weed. And I just spent the night in my flat just trying to process, you know, this surrender that, you know, I've been given this information and I couldn't understand it. I was confused. I was alone. I had no one to turn to. And then that night, something magical happened. After, you know, a couple of hours of taking drugs, I went to bed, you know, couldn't sleep for a good, you know, 4 or 5 hours. And the early hours of the morning, I was staring out of my window, just thinking about life and things and, you know, where do I go from here and contemplating everything. And again, another switch, another beam of light come, you know, I could see it, you know, come through the curtain and kind of touch me. And with that, I was transported to the next place, you know, what I believe to be, you know, the realm that we go to when we die. And within this experience, I got to speak to an entity which I didn't feel I needed to question who or what they were. It was just a knowingness again. I knew who they were. So I asked, I said, am I dead? And the entity replied, oh, it doesn't matter. You've got questions. You're here. So ask away. So my first response was, what you've done down there on Earth is amazing. What an experience, you know, all these wonderful things that you can do, and like this overwhelming feeling of love and bliss and joy and happiness, and all of that was just flooding out of me. But, you know, that wasn't the experience that I had from life at all, you know, not as me anyway, not as Ashley Morton. But this consciousness that, you know, is inside all of us that went to this next place was just overwhelmed with joy and love and bliss. So I said, why have I had to go through what I've been through? Because, you know, I was at breaking point. And then again, just like an instant, like a knowingness, I was shown a vision of a globe. And within that globe is my reality. And everything in that reality is mine, purely mine. And everything that it showed me, everyone that I ever interacted with was a reflection of me. It was a direct reflection of me. So I got to see how in this perceived physical reality that we live in actual fact, you know, my consciousness, you know, if you look at your consciousness, let's say, is in heaven, you're having a human experience. You're just observing yourself as a human. You know, it's just an experience. So I got to see that with such clarity, like a knowingness that everything was my doing, you know. So it was, you know, it was fundamentally just so right and just so pure. And even talking about it now, I can still see it. I can still feel it. It's part of me. It changed something within me. So then knowing this, I asked again, I said, well, am I dead? And the entity said, yes, you are dead, but you had to die to get to reach this place, to come here. You had to relieve yourself of your conditioning because you could not take any more. Your physical body could not take any more pain. And you had to, you know, you had to snap, you had to break. You had to break your mind to be able to reach this place. And he said, but like anyone like you, we give you the choice. You can go on to the next place if you wish, or you can go back. And without even answering, I was transported straight back to my bedroom. And when I come round, it felt like hours and hours had gone. And it had only been like 25 minutes. It felt like I was there for hours. So the first thing I did was pick up my phone and make a video to myself to always remember, you know, that experience, because I just knew that it would fade away. But actually, it didn't fade away at all. I can still remember it. So this really set in motion for me my thirst for knowledge, my thirst for enlightenment, for personal development. I don't like the word personal development. I call it personal liberation, because in actual fact, what we're doing is we're liberating ourselves from our past conditioning. We're not actually developing ourselves in any such way, because we're all born with the power. You know, we're all born with that universal love, that God energy force within inside of us. It's what keeps our heart beating every day. It's what digests our food. It's what makes the sun rise, the plants to grow. It binds and penetrates every single one of us. It's all part of the universe, and the universe is all us, and we are it. It's the same. I just have this unwavering faith now, because I've experienced it, and I've got to see things, you know, for how they truly are.
It's amazing. It just, how does that play out then, being an empath? Because when you're saying and describing this, very much going within and really listening and surrendering, being vulnerable, and thank you so much for the vulnerability you've shown, you know, sharing the story here, because, you know, some of these, you know, elements of the story, it must be so difficult to kind of relive constantly and time again. But how does it play out being an empath with this? Because, of course, that is all about the interactions with others, isn't it? And taking on the energy and feeling that other person's energy. Where does that kind of sit now for you?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, part of, you know, finding yourself again, part of, you know, liberating yourself of your past conditionings is a very solitude experience. You have to go within to kind of find yourself, you know. So for me personally, I've been, you know, alone. You know, I'm not lonely, but, you know, I'm home alone a lot. I have to shield myself away from other people, from these energies, from these emotions, because I'm so heightened to it now, especially with this new awareness that I have. I can instantly feel that with someone, and I can tap into that wherever I go. So I have to be really careful now, whatever I do and wherever I go. For instance, I can't go to, say, for instance, a pub where, you know, there might be 50 or 60 people. I just completely change and shut down, you know. I start acting strangely. And it's only now, you know, that I realized throughout my life, you know, a lot, you know, I've done some crazy things, you know, and I realized that, you know, that person who did all these crazy things, that, you know, it wasn't in essence me. It was because I was being affected directly by other people's energies, whether that be good or bad. You know, it directly affected me and my actions. So I have to be really conscious now about that. And I practice Reiki, as you know. And I'm actually going to learn to be a Reiki master. It's in my vision board of things to do this year. So having that awareness of my energy and how energy works, I can manage it better.
This has been such a fascinating journey, I think, for all of us listening to your story, Ash. I mean, thank you on behalf of everybody listening and watching this, for, you know, sharing it with us. And I think, you know, for lots of us, maybe not to quite such an extreme level as you've experienced and endured, I guess you could sort of describe this as. I think we can all take little kind of moments away there and sort of think, yes, at a much lighter level. Yeah, kind of been there. Yeah, understood that. But for me, the key and really most profound learning from this is this word that you've used a number of times, which is surrender. I think we need to find ways of just being that little bit more vulnerable and just listening to the opportunities then that arise from as a direct result of doing that, because it feels, if we can learn something from your journey here, it is that, you know, by being vulnerable and really, really open to the possibilities, anything is possible. Ash, will you do me a favor? When your book is published, will you let me know straight away? Because what I'll do is obviously put the link to it, whether it's Amazon or other services are available, so that people can get hold of it, because I know people will want to re-explore many of the concepts that you've talked about here on this particular conversation. And I think, just kind of reliving and resharing that journey that you've been on will be a real inspiration to many, many people. So, Ash Morton, thank you so much for your time.